Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The thing that I hope comes out is how tough it was to be a Bull at that time. You had to have a pretty thick skin, because not only were, you know, if you had a turnover and lost a game, you could get roasted in the media, but you get roasted by Michael. And if Michael was coming after you because of something you did, and I saw a few times when he did go after people on his own team, you had to have the ability to stand up and say, okay, yeah, you're right, I made a mistake, but I'm coming right back at whatever it was. And if you didn't have that, come on, I've got this, I can do this. If you didn't have that mentality, you didn't make it very long in Chicago.
Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was the voice of longtime Bulls TV announcer Tom Dorr with McNeil and Parkins a few weeks ago, before the first two episodes of The Last Dance dropped on ESPN. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for helping keep us safe. And this hour on The Score, also brought to you by Valparaiso University. Now joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is Tom Dorr on Sports Radio 670. The Score, he's on Twitter by his name, at Tom Dorr. Tom, how you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. Congratulations. Terrific show, and I've heard great things about your ascension there and how much people like you. It was really good to hear. I'm really pleased for you.
Thank you so much for the kind words. How did you take it all in on Sunday night? Who'd you watch it with? Anyone?
No, it was just me. A family.
And with, your close friends on Twitter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there are a few of those. But it was the thing that I think, you know, at times, maybe most didn't see it. I thought Michael was really emotional talking about a few of the things that he did talk about. And then I thought he was very straightforward about what he felt about Scotty with that, having the surgery right before the season. So I was surprised at everything that not everything, but a lot of the things that he said.
Why do you think it's been so long since we've heard Michael Jordan talk in long form and just be so honest?
I think he was probably waiting for something that made sense to him, that wouldn't just be about him, that would be about the team, because that's exactly who he is. It's not about me. It's about us. And so, you know, he'd want a chance to talk about Phil and Bill Wennington and Steve Kerr, along with Ron Harper and Scotty, and also to be able to say, if you're talking about me, you better be talking about Pip as well. That's who he is. But as Michael is, he also was willing to give a shot. And I'll tell you this, I don't know if it'll come up. I haven't seen any of these. I wasn't interviewed at all. But I, knowing him, if there's something that he thinks he missed on or should have done, he'll be just as tough on himself as he was anybody else.
I think we all knew, based on what we were hearing about this from people that viewed at least the first few episodes, that this was going to be a rough evening for the Jerry Krause family. I don't think it was a surprise. And I don't know that it's going to continue throughout all 10 episodes here. But was Jerry Krause depicted in a fair way?
In parts, yeah. I think Steve Kerr said it really well. Jerry was terrific at putting teams together, but I think he wanted that limelight. I think that's part of the reason, or most of the reason, that he wanted to fire Phil, was that he felt like Phil was getting a lot of credit and that he wasn't. And let's face it, I mean, for what he did, the man was terrific. Drafting, Olden Polonies, making that trade, Horace, and he did, B.J. Armstrong, I think he did a great job. And then in years where we both didn't really need anybody, taking someone that he knew he could cut so that they wouldn't count so much against the cap. I mean, I think those things were, I don't want to say overlooked, but maybe glossed over. Jerry personally was not, there should have been somebody between Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson, Jimmy Stack, somebody like that, one of the assistants, because that just wasn't Jerry Krause's strength. And you want people to be able to play to their strengths, kind of thing. And so looking back, I bet everybody involved wished they could have done that and held it together for one more year. You know, I think Michael made a great point in the post-game press conference after the last championship. They've got a chance. They're the reigning champs. Let them go at it again. But I guess in part Jerry was portrayed fairly, but I wish there would have been a lot more of the personality that I know with Jerry. And as he and I sit and talk baseball, we talk about kids, we talk fishing, and his eyes would light up and we'd have a blast, a great 15, 20 minute conversation. But when it was time to work, Jerry had one intent, and that was to make that team as best he could.
Did you agree with Jerry Reinsdorf when he said that that Krause would be disappointed when people wouldn't love him back?
Yeah, he loved Chicago, absolutely loved it. And when he'd get booed or, whatever would happen, it hurt him. It did. There's no two ways about it. And so, I think that was probably best that he didn't see any of that. And he lived there. I mean, he knows what happened on the bus. I was there. He knows what happened in other situations. And so he knew, obviously, of the animosity there. But he still didn't like it and would have liked to have that changed. But, we'd all like to go back and do about 10 things in our lives differently, right?
Yeah, it's always easy to look back on and say, I should have done this in this spot. So obviously we had the MJ episode, the Scotty episode, and this Sunday we have Rodman and Phil Jackson. Which episode are you looking forward to the most?
Probably Dennis of the two. Did Phil's, I hosted Phil's TV show. I talked to him before most and after most every game, talked to him at practices once in a while. So I know Phil really, really well. I'm anxious for people to get to know Dennis because everything you think, well, you probably know, but most people think about him is exactly who he isn't. He's very shy, very quiet, very reserved. Right, very soon after he got there, my brother had a problem with his foot and he was coming to the game. And so I brought him down for Chip Schaefer to look at him, the Bulls trainer. Now he's a strength and conditioning guy. And Chip is one of my all-time favorites. Anyway, so he sat on the table next to Dennis and said hi, and Dennis just looked away. And this was really early, like maybe preseason. And so my brother was like, that's fine. I'm here in a pass. I'm glad somebody will help me. And he said he wasn't going to say anything else. About 4 months later, Dennis asked me, are you bringing your brother to a game? And I said, yeah, he'll come in 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. And so Dennis said, tell him I said hi, bring him down. And so it took a while for him to trust people. He's been burned a couple times in his life, and loves his daughter like there is no tomorrow. And that was a really traumatic thing for him to be burned like he was personally. And it hurt him a lot. So I hope part of that comes out, who he really is. Because this is a guy, and I absolutely promise you this, that would not only give you the shirt off his back, he'd give you his last $5 if you looked hungry and tired. He would easily do those things for you. And that's one of his biggest, if you want to call that a fault, that's one of his biggest faults, is that he is that sweet, nice, honest, giving of a person.
Joe Ostrowski with Tom Dora, longtime Bulls TV announcer at Sports Radio 670, The Score. Tom, before the release on Sunday in the lead-up, we were hearing MJ in a couple of interviews say, oh, boy, I'm really – people are going to think I'm a horrible person. What do you think he meant by that? And have we seen any of that yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, him being – you saw the scenes at practice, right, where he talked to Tony or he talked to other guys. He talked to Harp one time.
Harp.
And he was pretty tough on them. That is – part of what you'll see. I don't know, and I talked to one of the guys that was part of that group that was the recipient of a lot of it. I'm not going to say any names, and if it comes up, I'll be glad to talk about it after the fact. But there are times when he is unmerciful because he has one goal. He wants to win a championship. He wants to win every game. Now, the thing that I think going into that last year when Scotty was out for however long he was out for, I think the Bulls really searched for an identity. And going back to Dennis, I think Dennis probably had his best stretch in those 2, 3, 4 months, whatever it was, before Pip came back. I think Dennis was as good during that stretch as I ever saw him. And then I think when Pip came back, I think Pip was just awesome. He came back when he was ready, and boy, that team turned it into high gear once they got used to everybody again.
It had to be so strange because you've lived all this. You know all of these stories, but to see the video with the music and all these great guests that they have talking about it, did you have a specific moment that you loved more than the rest of it?
No. When Scotty came back, see, I'm a big Scotty guy. He worked with us in the postseason, and that was something I really pushed for 2 or 3 years on TV. And I'll say this. People have trouble with his Arkansas drawl, right? The same problem with Randy Hundley when Randy did Cubs games on the radio. But if you listen to what they say, the information is absolute gold. And so I wish they could have somehow talked about his what he did with us as a game analyst, because I thought Pip was great. I'm a Scottie Pippen fan. So on the court and off the court, you know, things haven't always been perfect in his life. People have not treated him very well, you know, and taken money from that kind of thing. But aside from all of that, I like Scottie. We've always gotten along extremely well.
It's I feel like my childhood, Tom, in the off seasons usually, it was the Bulls trying to trade Scottie Pippen every single year, whether it was Sean Kemp or Tracy McGrady. And T-Mac talked about that this week on ESPN, how MJ vetoed that one.
Yeah, you've got a guy that fit everything they needed. T-Mac was a great player. Make no mistake. But the difference is that Scotty was better off defensively. Defensively, Scotty is one of the best of all time, whether it was one-on-one or team defense. And because he and Michael got to know each other so well and got to play so well with each other in practices and in games, they knew where the other guy was. You didn't have to look. you knew where that guy was. And so for them to be able to have that kind of court awareness with each other really made it difficult to think, as good as someone else could be, I don't want that someone else. I want this guy. I know him, I trust him, and I know what's going to happen when things go wrong. I know he's going to be there. Nothing against T-Mac, not in the least, but I want the guy that I know, and I'm sure that was a big part of it. And loyalty. Michael is very, very loyal to people, and Pip was his guy forever.
Hey, Tom, people didn't even know about these tapes. A lot of Bulls fans are like, wait, what is this? And where was this hidden by Adam Silver for all these years? Over the years, did you ever think back like, wait, whatever happened to that film?
Well, we knew, in fact, I was talking to our director, at the time he was producer and director, James Angio, Jimmy. And Ange and I talked, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that, before they talked about moving the series up, that kind of thing. And we talked about how frustrating it was because they would get access and we wouldn't to certain things. And so, yeah, we knew exactly what they had and what we wanted. Because I think I had, I played in college. I wasn't a very good college player. I wasn't a great pro player overseas, but I had played. So I knew the game and I knew what to ask. So I think I had really good rapport with the guys. They trusted me, they believed me, that kind of thing. And so I couldn't go in and ask those questions and develop storylines like I wanted to, because NBA Films was doing this. I get why they wanted to do it. The stuff is gold. And I'm sure through all 10 episodes, you're going to see pure gold come out night after night, because not only are they great storytellers, but it's a hell of a story to tell.
Tom, I mean, it's like going back in time to being a teenager. All day on The Score, every day we're talking about the 90s Bulls. We'll break away for a couple days with the NFL draft coming up, but every Monday and Tuesday, it's 24/7 Bulls talk, going back in time to these years. It's unbelievable.
And it's so much fun. You know, when that was going on, I remember one of the big topics one year, and I don't remember what year Billy Wennington came on, but I remember him signing, and that was really big news. Well, you know, he's going to back up Luke. Now, how good is he? What's he going to bring? How is this going to be different? How many times do you get a backup center and a very good player? But how many times is the backup center the focal point of 3 or 4 or 5 days of discussion? I remember we were, I don't remember which year, we're at Houston. And I think I was on The Score that day. And whoever was kind of busting against, oh man, Billy's going to catch it tonight, coming in against Hakeem Olajuwon. And so I said, I think you're going to see something you don't expect. He's not a post-up center. That was not his game. Billy was a 15, 16-foot jump shot artist and really good at it. And those running follow-up dunks, because he'd always pick a lane that he could run down. The ball came to him, you know, it's a big dunk and everybody goes crazy. But I think he had 18, 20, 22 points that night and played Hakeem to a standstill. I won't say he played as well as Hakeem. Very few people ever did that. But to see that, and again, this is going back to Jerry Krause, somebody that Jerry brought in, knowing that with Luke Longley, now you want somebody different. With Michael Jordan, you got Steve Kerr. With Luke Longley, you had Bill Wennington. So you had people that did very different jobs very well. And those bench pieces, those 3 or 4 bench pieces, really were big. Yeah, remember, I think it was the second championship. Bulls were in trouble at home against Portland. Bobby Hanson comes off the bench, makes a couple steals, makes a three, gets them right back in the ball game. Cliff Levingston did the same thing at that time. So that bench was a key. And Phil Jackson, I thought, was masterful in how he used them in different situations, like an end-of-half situation. He put somebody in to try to get them a little experience at the end of a half. And so if it came to the end of a half or the end of a game, they'd done that four, five, six times. There was no concern. Michael's 53 in New York when he passed it to Weddington for the dunk. You know, that's the kind of thing that you have to have done several times in a game. You can do it in practice, but you got to do it in a game to really get used to it. And I thought that's where Phil was far head and shoulders above anybody else. And look, Pat Riley's a great coach. Don Nelson's there. There were lots of great coaches. But I thought what Phil did with that bench was just masterful. Chad Buschler. Bushy didn't play very much. But when you needed Bushy, you knew what you got. You knew exactly what you got. And so that trust among those guys who may only get 3 or 4 minutes, but aren't gonna hurt you in those 3 or 4 minutes. Most other teams couldn't go 9, 10, 11, 12 with guys that, again, won't help you but aren't going to hurt you. And that's what Phil had them prepared for.
Tom, I remember when people would refer to Bill Weddington as Air Weddington. You're right. There are some sports fans in Chicago right now that couldn't name the starting center, let alone the backup center right now. As you're talking about Phil Jackson, there was one moment that I didn't care what Jerry Reinsdorf had to say. And I know you're a big Reinsdorf fan, but when he said that, well, if Jerry Krause didn't find Phil Jackson and bring him on the coaching staff, we would have never heard of them. I mean, come on. Like, at some point, you believed in the guy enough to hire him and make him Michael Jordan's head coach. Look what he's developed into. He should have been the highest paid coach at the time.
Yeah, I understand your point about the payment. I'm not going to get into contracts. That's not something I'll talk about with any of the guys. But, I've got to think that somebody probably would have hired Phil Jackson at some point. What Phil was, but I'll say this. I think the year that the Bulls got robbed in New York against the Knicks, the Hugh Hollins call, Scotty called for a foul. The ball was halfway to the basket. He touched the guy's arm. Mm-hmm. But just a brutal call. But that year and that year and a half with Scotty, I thought that year was the best job Phil Jackson did. Not that he did a bad job other years, but this was a team that finished 41-41 and came within a terrible call of beating the Knicks and going to the Eastern Conference Finals without Michael. And still a lot of talent. You know, I mean, there were a lot of really good players still there, but you didn't have Michael, you know. And so I thought Phil was terrific, and I said this on Twitter, and I really believe this. That year and a half that Michael was gone, or whatever it ended up to be, that Scottie Pippen was probably as good as any player in the NBA during that year and a half. He was just unbelievable. Both ends of the floor, and especially defensively. When Pip wanted to put a stopper on you, he put a stopper on you. And as the season wore on, they got more cohesive. Because let's face it, you take Michael out, that's a big change. But by the end of the year, I thought Pip was just, God, he was terrific the end of that season.
Yes, he was. Tom Doerr, longtime Bulls TV announcer. Tom, thank you for the stories and your time tonight.
Hey, Joe, glad to. Again, congrats. Hope to come on with you again, maybe after it's over, something like that.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Tom Doerr, y'all remember him and follow him on Twitter, @TomDoerr. Love stories like that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.